I got a two-hour message I got to preach in just about 10 minutes, so. Hey, bring them back inside. They can't leave now. It's too early. I hadn't even done an altar call yet. Yeah, take them, get them back inside. I'm just joking, guys. Listen, it's exciting. Exciting to see what God is doing in all of your lives. It's just been really good to keep up and just, you know, it's one thing how Facebook kind of helps out sometimes is they'll show you or, you know, the software, even though they stalk and they know everything about you, you just think something and they'll be posting ads for it. But what I'm getting at, there is some good in that, is that you can actually see, you watch a family or you watch a couple and you're able to see over a one-year period, like as long as they kept God first in their life, you saw the fruits of that. And that's what I'm excited to just to share. Seeing some of you, I remember when you walked in here just a year ago, or just a few months ago, or just a few years ago, and just the things that you battled and the places that you were in life, and just to see how God is bringing you through that. And not only alone, but he's bringing you through that with a church family. And that's the best part. Amen? A church family. So speaking about church family, I had a few questions about our little Christmas caroling going on. Who in the world is thinking about joining us for this Christmas carol? I love this. I love that hand went up so quick. Well, let me give just a few more details about what that is going to look like. What we'd like to do is, and please don't record this as a message. This is not going to lead anyone to Christ as of yet. So, but what we'd like to do is we have three local subdivisions in our area that are just inundated and slapped chock full with families and children and couples and people that just need the love of God. And what we'd like to do is to ride through those subdivisions on a 36-foot flatbed gooseneck trailer, and we'll have wooden rails built all the way around it and stairs to get up it and everything, and we'll have hay bales. And we're just going to go ride around and sing probably about five Christmas songs over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So the cool thing about that is I designed and ordered four banners that are going to go on this trailer, and it's just going to wish people Merry Christmas from Fellowship Church. And that's one thing that we want our local community and our subdivisions that are close by. So you don't have to drive 40 minutes like some great people do, drive all the way here from Lake City. Some people drive here all the way from Russia, Germany. I'm just joking, but you guys get my point. We're right here. And so we're going to be doing that. We're going to be meeting up at the entrance of these subdivisions. Everybody can carpool, get there, and we'll meet up. We'll load up on a trailer. Hopefully, we'll be getting with High Springs Police Department this week to see if they can give us a little escort, because you know how subdivision people can get. Only in the U.S. So we'll see if he can, you know, they give us a little escort, and we'll just ride around singing Christmas songs. We'll then get, at the end of the subdivision, get in our vehicles, head to the next subdivision, jump on a trailer again, do the same thing, file suit, okay? And we're hoping to end this event, this time, at one of our church members' home, because two of the subdivisions are in our church members' neighborhood, and they're just going to open up their home to us, and we're going to have hot chocolate and cookies. How's that sound? Sounds good? All right, so what we're going to be doing, we're going to be posting probably those five list of songs either on Facebook. We'll be putting in the share. We'll give you YouTube links, and we're just going to sing. And we'll have a little small PA system that we'll be playing from the vehicle to keep all of you in key, including myself. And we'll just have a great time sharing God's love with our community. So that's the details I can give. I don't know what kind of hay it is. I don't know if it's gluten-free hay or if it's alfalfa-free hay. It might be just hay, you know. But we're going to have a good time. That's all that counts. Amen? Amen. So listen, we're going to get started with today. Today, we do not do this enough. I just want to give you guys a heads up. If you get bored really quick, I'm going to pray for you throughout my message today. But we do not do this enough in our church specifically, and I'm saying this with a bit of apology, okay? And we're going to be talking today specifically about missions. We're noticed by other people who attend or check out our website, and they're like, wow, I'm just amazed to see the emphasis that your church has on missions. Tell me a little bit more. And I think on Sundays, I do a very poor job of really just elaborating or sharing on how much we actually do and we give in support of missions. And I've watched our congregation over the years kind of grow away from personal mission trips. And that's one of the things that I didn't want to do for, 12, 13 years of my being in ministry. I'm like, we don't need to go on. America needs Jesus. Why would I travel across the seas, no air condition, eat food that'll make me sick and throw up for 16 weeks? You know, I could just do that right here from the comfort of my own little community. God broke the wind to me, and he said, you know what, the message, he said, you have to do what I told you to do, and I'll get to that a little bit later. So, broke the word is what I'm to say. So what I'm getting at is the Great Commission is a scripture that many of you have heard of or you've gone to and you shared. So you're going to turn your Bible to Matthew, the book of Matthew, New Testament, first book right there, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. So I'm going to be preaching a little bit, and I'm going to be sharing some scripture, and I'm also going to be going to share just a few of the mission supports, the missionaries or outreaches that we partner with, okay? So you'll get a chance to see physically where every dollar, every prayer that we give to missions goes with just, I think, around five of the ministries that we support. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey some things I have commanded you. Is that what your Bible reads? That's what a lot of us churches are doing these days. We're teaching people how to give their life to Christ and only obey some things that he teaches. When Jesus says right here, obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. And you can see that I've emboldened just a few words in this one scripture. I've emboldened the word go. Go. That is not speaking to only someone who feels or interprets the call of God in their life to go out and do mission work or to cross the seas or to cross the boundaries. No, this is for everyone who has decided to follow Jesus. And I know I heard a lot of voices singing that song today. I know I heard that. So I'm just going to assume that we have a lot of people in this building that have chosen to follow Jesus. And we've preached really hard the last month or so about being a Christian is to be a follower of Christ. To be a follower of Christ is to be a disciple of Christ. There's no forks in the road that separates a churchgoer Christian from someone who is a disciple, someone who goes. Amen? So go and make disciples. So you can't just lead someone to Christ. You have to have a way to set up to help grow them and lead them on in their Christian journey. And that's why here at Fellowship Church, we do something called Growth Track a couple times a year. We have about 15, 20 people, and it's for those who are, spiritually just kind of at a lull in their life and they're ready to grow, or it could be that very brand new Christian that has never given their life to Christ. And we lead you through a four-week, every Sunday morning for 4 weeks, we go through the Growth Track. So we want to make disciples. Next thing, all nations, not just Alachua. And I know when you travel to Dixie County and you travel to Columbia County, that's like a foreign field. I understand that. You can justify all that with your words with God, but that's really not all nations. Amen? Some of y'all are smiling because y'all know what kind of people y'all got. I'm not talking about Louisiana, Mississippi, because he's from Mississippi. Mike, I know you don't brag about it, but I'm from Louisiana, and we got some unique folk down there. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even going to exaggerate. But go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says, and teaching them. You're going to learn that what we give and what we pray for our missions, high investment in teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you. So if I go and I make disciples and I baptize them and I teach them how to obey God, Jesus is going to be with me always. I don't want him to be with me just a few minutes a week, right? No? Y'all fine with just a little Jesus, a few minutes? All right. So here's what I want us to understand that is very crucial, that we understand the Great Commission. And the way I've always looked at it is I split that word up. I say the Great Co-Mission. So if you're a Christian, if you believe that you are saved by the grace of God and that you are heaven bound and that you've somehow shunned the gates of hell, amen? Co-mission. That means that you have to be in a partnership with someone, especially God. You have to be collectively together doing the mission of leading people to Christ, discipling them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So when you hear the Great Commission, just know that it's not something that is just set apart away from all of us who are Christians. We are in the co-mission. It's a partnership. We're doing this with God for the kingdom of God. Amen? We also need to understand that in order for the Great Commission, for missions to be done, it takes something called money. No, I'm not going to ask you to give today, so you guys can just take another deep breath. But I want to talk about the importance of us giving. Now, as a church, we give not only 10%, we give 10.35. And that 0.35, when we decided to give that extra 0.35, it wasn't at a time where we were just financially just abundantly blessed and it was just pouring out. It was, you know what? There is another ministry. There's another opportunity that we can invest in. And instead of trying to pull away from other things, we want to add this on. And it's very hard to make that decision. And we change things every so often. But I just want to encourage you that you understand that as a church, there's nothing. We don't just hoard money up. We broke all the time. Amen? And now one of the areas, I'm being very clear. You guys have the budget. Get it when you walk out. But we could easily say, oh, well, let's just cut off some of that 0.35, or let's just start only tithing as a church. Let's just tithe 2%. And then we can have the money to do all the things that make our lives better here at church, right? I hope I'm not in the company of those type of people. No, we have to do what God has called us to do. And where it's most effective and where it's most effective is the mission field. So we as a church give 10.35%. So we have to personally give towards missions. Why? Because John 3:16 talks about somebody who gave. If you want to turn your Bible there. If you haven't heard that verse before, John 3:16, for God so loved. Everybody say, so loved. So loved. What did he do? Okay, he didn't just love. He so loved the world. The world. The sick, demented, twisted. He loved. Though he so loved the world. He so loved. Talk about love. He so loved the world that he did what? That he gave. Man. That he gave. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have. See? Gagnant in Creole, have everlasting life. So God so loved the world that he gave. Why? So that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can possess eternal life. I think that's something worth celebrating. That's the kind of love I want in myself. Amen? Gave love so that they can have. So why does every message at our church have something to do with others? If you've been around here a while, you'll see we preach heavily on a few things. Number one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is living. He's moving in our lives. He guides us. He directs us. He rebukes us. He corrects us. I mean, he powerful, powerful. The Holy Spirit will always lift up Jesus. Jesus is number one. And secondly, you will always hear us preaching about how can we lead others. It's not about what happens in these little walls. It's about others. It's about, y'all say that word, others. When you're looking at your budget this month and Christmas is coming up, don't just think about me, myself, and I, and all my four, no more. Think about others. Why are Christians, why are we as a church supposed to be focused on others? And I came up with my own little acronym. Okay, Wendy loves picking on me because I'm an acronym kind of guy. I've given you a break. So others is what? You guys look up there. Tell me what it says. Obligated. If I have accepted Christ as my Savior, I have decided to follow Jesus. If I have decided, I'm obligated. Would you like Jesus to go back on his word? Would you like Jesus to go back on his decision to die on the cross for you and to empower you, embolden you, and give you courage through the Holy Spirit? No, I'm obligated to do what? To help who? Well, I just want to help those in Fort White. I just want to help those in Alachua. I just want to help those in my little family, no one else. No, help everyone reach salvation. That's the goal of what every single Christian is to do, is to be focused on God and focused on others. Amen? So we, as Christians, we're called to give towards missions. We're called to serve. Serve in missions. That co-mission, right? How can you be part of a co if you're not going? How can you be part of the co-mission and you're not giving? How can you be part of the co-mission and you're not praying? Amen? I want to share just a little bit about our first, it's not that I'm partial to Haiti, but I've only been there, I don't know, a good bit. I guess a dozen times or so. Last week was 2011 is when we made our first trip. Last week. Oh my. Y'all know how life throws you a crazy curveball and you never see what the future holds? That's what happened with this whole trip to Haiti. But anyway, I want to give you just a little bit. First one, we're going to be sharing about one of the missions that we spend a lot of time and money and I guess efforts talking about is an orphanage that is led and ran by this lady in the little pink peach dress. Her name is Zeke. Her husband is Mackenzie. They had nothing, nothing. They had nothing. And after the earthquake, they knew, and they just like, we got to take some kids in off the streets because they lost so much of their family members. They were displaced. So they took in, I think, 14 kids right after the earthquake, and they had, they didn't have a house secured for them. They didn't have any finances. They didn't have any food. I mean, but they just knew they had to take in these people. So right now what you're seeing is a lot of the orphans, this is from, I guess, in the last couple months, last couple weeks. These are all the girls. They have 25 orphans total. If you want to keep on. And what we've been able to accomplish this year, I wanted to do this for so long. I would love to get artificial turf from a football field somewhere. If any of you have connections, that would be awesome because a lot of the kids stay sick because of the dust. It's no grass. They're just walking barefoot, dust everywhere, mud. Every time it rains, it comes off the mountain and just floods the whole place with mud. We've done everything we could. But anyway, go back a little bit. You speed fast. So what we decided is we concreted the whole orphanage. That's not good on the knees and the scrapes and bruises, right? But we're getting there, one step. So this is all hand-mixed and poured in this little two-sack thing. Okay, mixer. So now, I want to show you guys this, what we've been able to accomplish. All right, so they're concreting all of the orphanage right there. Keep on going. Right here, this was taken in 2012 or 2013. That blonde, that white person right there is Emily, who was just worshiping with us right here. Emily made a trip with us to Haiti. 2012 is when this is, I believe. Anyway, what you see in the background is just walls. And if you look kind of towards the backside of Emily, you see this kind of black iron shape. That is their stove. That is how they cooked to feed all the kids at the orphanage, which at that time had like 14 kids. They cooked on charcoal. And that's how, that was their kitchen. That's how they fed the kids. And they got a chance to sit in this car seat that was all against the wall. So God gave us a vision to build a kitchen, a pantry, and let's continue on. And that's what you see nowadays is the pantry and the kitchen and the cafeteria, just phenomenal. And it's all been by those who gave financially. This is some tables we built here out of some scrap metal that was donated and some wood shipped it over there. And just all the kids now have two or three meals a day. All of them are doing exceptionally well. This year, they've been able to accomplish getting a new generator, like a real commercial-style diesel-ran one. They also were able to get some solar panels and a better charging system and even more batteries. And we have struggled our best. I had this entire orphanage running on two 12-volt batteries. The whole orphanage. Like, they had lights. You can only run at night. And I switched out sockets, but 12-volt bulbs. And we just did what we can. And God opened the door for some more finances. Right here, this is Aiden right in the middle. When he was four, okay? And if you look in the background, you see a couple people sitting. You see this concrete building. The mother, she's sitting, I think, in the turquoise shirt. she had this house built years and years ago behind her, and she had this property. Well, her son got saved, which is McKinney, gave his life to Christ. He and his wife got married, and they started the orphanage. The mother felt moved to tell her son, hey, won't you just move here. Let's build you a house here. And we had some support from Trinidad. They built them a house. And next thing you know, look at this. That's the same building you guys just saw. So I met with the mother who was a prostitute all of her life to raise and support her three kids, which McKinney was her son. And I met with her. I said, look, I promise if you let us build on top of your house, we will finish the inside of your house. And by the grace of God and people giving, we're able to build all the girls' dorms and finished the downstairs, but the boys still lived in half of her house. This year, we were able to finish boys' dorms, which is on top of the cafeteria and kitchen. So we have a security gate that's built. We have a concrete fence all the way around the property because stuff goes on in villages, okay? Let's just put it that way. Very, 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 very bad stuff. So pause for a second. This guy right here to the left is McKenzie. He's the founder of the orphanage, and his son, not really his son, but this kid right here is called Michael, or Mikael, okay? He was 11 years old when the earthquake happened. And I have an interview with him. He says, I went outside to go to the restroom to make a poop, because everything's outdoor, you know, plumbing. So he went outside to the restroom, and the earthquake happened. And the school crumbled. Everyone was killed. He's running across Port-au-Prince trying to make it home in this chaotic moment. His family is all killed. The house is, I mean, just demolished. And for 3 weeks, this kid, this is a picture now, but go back 2010 January, for 3 weeks lived on the streets. Jumped on a bus, went to a safer town, and that's how McKenzie started seeing him on the streets. And he said, you need to come with me. You need to come with me. Well, guess what? Michael had heard that for the last 3 weeks from a lot of other people as well. But he somehow chose to go with McKenzie. And this kid now, this is a couple years ago, this kid now is doing, he's in Kentucky going to school for computer technologies and some sort of engineering, okay? Straight A student, phenomenal. He wants to also be a pilot so he can take missionaries on the mission field. So just to show you guys, we get a part of seeing some great things happen. A fond believer in Christ. So let's, I think that's about it. Another thing we do with the Haiti trips, we help them rent some property for 3 years at a time. And we took people from here and got some gardens started. And they've been doing pretty good with some okra, some bananas, and beans. Bananas is really, really prominent because the property we lease is a banana orchard. So they planted over 200 banana trees this year. Let me see if I can go through a couple more things. They were able to get a new refrigerator, a new oven. So now they have a refrigerator, which they never have in the past. A new oven, we wear that thing out. The kids did a VBS here and raised money to buy a stove. And within 2 years, I'm like, what happened to this thing? You know what I mean? But when you realize cooking out in the heat three times a day. Anyway, they got a new submersible well for the water well. They got new water tanks. Just phenomenal things happened this year because we gave. Amen? So as I finish up with the orphanage there, one of the things that we're really trying to focus on is these kids, when they get to the age of 18, they're now free to leave, or they're free to stay and then become interns. Well, the biggest thing that's our passion is that's great. They're interns. They get to give back for what's been given to them, but it doesn't necessarily help their country. So right now, we are in the midst of their first orphan that they took, and her name is Faidra. And she's been there since 2000, I think they got her before the earthquake, 2009, 2010. Anyway, she graduates this upcoming year, and we're trying our best to save up money, to raise money, to send her to college in Dominican Republic. Ever since I met her, she wants to become a doctor so she can help her country. And I promise you, this young lady will do it, providing that we're able to help make that happen. So we sent some money. We're trying to get her a visa and a passport so I can get her here in Florida and share, you know, go to different churches and schools as well as go to Louisiana and share with that as well. So just keep that in prayer if that's an area you'd like to help out in. Amen? So these are some of the boys and some of the corn that was planted this year and grew. Oh my goodness, I miss these guys. We were supposed to go to Haiti December 7th. Like in 2 weeks, I was supposed to land. And as of Monday of last week, I decided to cancel the trip because of the civil turmoil and unrest that is going on there. It is horrible. There is no media coverage that is sharing exactly what's happening down there. So if you guys want to do some research, you'll find out quickly why we decided it's not safe for us to go. And I also made that decision by the guidance of McKendy, who is a Haitian native, who lives two hours away from Port-au-Prince, which we have to go through. So when I first met them, the first thing that really moved upon me as I'm walking through this village, really, really grilling McKendy, whose English was extremely minimal. And I begin to ask him, how did you do this? Because in America, we don't plan to have children, especially 25 kids, right, without having the provision. And one of the things that really stood out to me with McKendy is in the best English he could speak, he said, "Pastor, we walk by faith. We walk by faith." And I always love, because not faith, it's faith with an F. We walk by faith. And when he said that, I began to really look at how is he accomplishing all these things for these kids with nothing? How can he fulfill the vision? When we have vision in America, it's because we have finances there, or at least we can go and twist someone's arm and they'll give towards that purpose, right? No, God gave them the vision and he started walking. That moved me. He said, we live by faith and we walk by faith. And that is something that really stood out to me. And I want to share with you what James has to say about that, okay? James chapter 2, verse 14. This is what he says. Oh my goodness, it's 11:45 already. What good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes or daily food, if one of you says, go to them, be in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied, added to, combined with, by action, faith is dead. Do y'all see where James is trying to communicate? Now, you know, McKendy could have said, just like the rest of the missionaries I'm going to share, they could have said, well, I have faith that God's going to meet needs and we're going to do this and that and just wait. But no, they begin serving. They begin reaching out. They begin taking people off the streets and leading them to Christ and providing for them before anything is given to them or it just falls in their hands. Why? Because they begin to apply action to their faith. And you can skip down to verse 22. You see that his faith, talking about Abraham and Isaac, okay, because he referenced that. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And that's the whole story about Abraham. God told him to go and give his son as a living sacrifice for him, a worship, and it was the only kid, and they waited 99 years to have that kid. And he could have said, you know what, man, God really moved. He really told me to go and sacrifice my son and just hang out there, right? Because I have faith. He told me to do. I heard God's voice. I have faith. But his action walked him all the way up to the top of the mountain, tied his son down, bound him, and was beginning to sacrifice him. When an angel came down and said, okay, you had faith, but then you also had action. And that's why Abraham is labeled as someone who is righteous. Because as you read in verse 24, you see that a person is considered righteous not only by what they do, but also not by faith alone, by what they do. So you have to combine. James is emphasizing faith plus action. Everybody say faith plus action. Say faith plus action. Now you can have faith and there's no worth. And you can have action and there's no worth. You have to have them combined. They have to be interwoven, intertwined, become one. Faith without action, faith without works, faith without deeds is dead. Amen. So I want to share with you our second missionary that we support. His name is Imran Sadiq. He is in Faisalabad, Pakistan. Okay. And this, you're going to be amazed. Yep, this is a little boy. He's a year old now. Him and his lovely wife. Imran was here about 2 years ago. You got a chance to meet him. And he hung out with us for, I don't know, almost a week. Now, one thing we were able to help out last year, his dad, who is they have a close relationship. They actually live with his father. He walked outside and got hit by a motorcycle and had to have surgery on his brain. So we're able to actually pray for him and send some extra funds there to help out in that. And he is doing alive and well and back on the streets ministering with Imran. So you'll see now that one of the things that he does is he does open-air meetings. Now, years ago, like 10 plus years ago, he was doing evangelical work where he would just go out and walk into these villages, and then Fellowship Church actually bought him his first motorcycle so he could go out even further. And he learned that he had to come back home different routes than he left because people were trying to kill him, so they would study his patterns. Okay, so just phenomenal young man. I'm talking about zeal and fire for the things of God. So you'll see there, as she's flowing through that, I want to read to you. He just sent me a message this morning. Everything is just going so fast. Here we go. Just to give you guys a glimpse, okay? He tells you, thank you, we love you, we miss you guys, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to get down to it, okay? In March, they had a powerful evangelical revival meeting. 180 people got saved there. 80 people gathered another place, and people got saved. In April, 6,960 souls got saved in an open-air festival. Many, many people got healed. He talks about they took sickness. God took sickness from backs, legs, arms, stomach, joints, just phenomenal things. Many, many testimonies. He actually documents every single testimony. Every time God does a miracle, every time God answers a prayer, that ought to tell us something we need to do in our life, because we just chalk it off. God's not listening. Are you really watching? Amen? Are you really watching? May they had a meeting in a village, and 9 people came to know the Lord. Bible school for 15 days. We struggle to get VBS for 3 days straight. Come on now. 15 days, and he said that they hire qualified teachers, and they got 115 students that have been trained to be witnesses for Jesus Christ in our society and serving God in different churches. That's Vacation Bible School, amen? Goes on and had this, in September, open-air festival, 15,653 people gave their lives to Christ. I hope y'all can see some of this by the pictures. This guy's preaching with a Santa Claus hat on. So he talks about miracles. He goes down to conferences and providing the Holy Bible in native languages. They're going to have a Thanksgiving service. One of the things you see right here is Christmas outreach, where they too do Christmas caroling, and they hand out Bibles, they hand out New Testaments, they play the Jesus film and other gospel material to unsaved people on the roads, squares, and colonies. Can I get an amen? Thank God for people, and there's so much more I could share. But I want to show you one picture. If you could go to the baptism pictures. I just got these in this morning. If you really look at some of these people, they are cold for some reason. They actually have this water running out of this river into this tank. In one of the pictures, one of the guys is standing in the outflow to block the water enough so that people can get baptized. Try and do that in an American church these days. Amen? But this is the gospel right here. All these people in Pakistan giving their lives to Christ. He's planting churches. They're actually trying to build a church right now in the bricklayers community, where everyone, they live on building bricks, a very poverty-stricken area. So you got that. I'm going to skip that video. When do you think I played the video? What does she say? Skip. All right. Joseph Macha is in Kakinada, India. One thing about, you can just scroll through those pictures. Joseph Macha and his wife, they do Bible presentations, they do baptism, fasting. The church as a whole, they fast for days on end, and then they come together for this agape feast after the fasting period. Pastors' monthly meet and meals, children's book for academic year. They also solemnize marriages. They gift sewing machines to women who are poor so that they can start business. They drill water wells and help with church construction as much as they can. Right here, pause, because she gave specific notes on this. This young lady's name is Avanti. She was brought into the orphanage that they lead in 2006, and she received her education, her care, and love. She also took baptism and got saved. She loves Jesus and believes in his promises. She finished her school and took up a job as a nurse, and not only that, but she also married a wonderful Christian boy. Lives are changed here, and Fellowship Church support are helping us to build lives for these children. So it's not just about taking care of orphans, but it's about investing in them, leading them to Christ, so that they can continue giving back to their country and being a Christian witness. Amen?
James 1:27 says this, religion that our God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I don't know if you guys know this, but in India, they have a really, 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 really big issue and struggle and problem dealing specifically with widows, okay? So one of the things that Joseph Mach and his ministry, they do is they have a ministry where they house widows and they give them shelter and they provide for them food and ways to begin making funds and living for themselves. I'm going to read this real quickly, okay? This is about being widowed in India. Whether young or old, widowed women leave behind their colorful saris, part of their jewelry, and even shave their heads, okay, if they are more conservative Hindu traditions. And they talk about how women, when they are widowed, they basically become an it. They're not a woman anymore because that's the way they're viewed there. Many of them are considered prostitutes after that. And some of them, with tradition, they're forced to marry the deceased husband's brother so that they do not get raped, because they become just an it. Does that make sense? Now, I know we think about widows. We think about our widows here, and you know, we take care of them. Some families take care of their own grandmothers who are widows. But in India, there are 40 million women widows alone. And if I continue to read what happens to most of these widows, It's horrible. Let's just put it that way. It is very, very horrible. And this couple are doing what they can, along with another ministry, to meet the needs of these widows and give them new life after the loss of their husband. Amen? We're part of that. Another ministry that we support is Friends of Children, North Florida, Gainesville, which is locally. Basically, it's an organization that built two duplexes, and they specifically help out families that are foster families and children. So they have, on these two duplexes, they have four families, and at one given time, they could be fostering up to 20 children, okay? Making sure that they have, you know, and they're trying to keep siblings together, whether it be court issues that are going on or, you know, parents who are unable to adequately meet the needs of raising children, these Christians step in and meet the need. And our church, especially the youth, they were able to go a couple weeks ago and give all the parents a date night, and they were caregivers for the kids. They also prepare meals and bring meals there once or twice a year. So that's in Gainesville. If you want more information, I can share with that or get with Wendy as well. I want to share one more in a second. You know what, I'm going to skip that part, and I'm just going to go ahead and share. Yes, video, and then we'll finish. And we're going to play Open Eyes Ministry. If you give attention, please. So as I said earlier, that's just one of the ministries that we support here. They've been in the ministry for 20 years, and the founder actually just retired this past. We had two of our missionaries retire within the last year or two, but thank God they created leadership that is continuing the mission, even with them being retired. So just so you guys know, I know that I've given you a lot of information, a lot of pictures. Here's the take home. Okay, here's the take home. All of us who consider ourselves as followers of Christ are called and equipped by the Word of God to go out and make disciples. And we are part of the great commission. Now, the cool part about Fellowship Church, we don't just send money to places and people that you or I don't go to or have the ability to go to. So anyone that you've seen here, if you feel the Spirit of God speak to you over the next day, the next week, the next year, just know that we can get you there. Isn't that incredible? That's not incredible. It's not incredible. If you're like me, you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to give a little extra. Don't even consider about going anywhere. Guys, listen. For 12 or 13 years of me being in the ministry, I never once wanted to do a mission trip because of what it would cost me, my time, my comforts. I even had other ministers saying, I will pay for the whole trip. You just need to come. I said, no, no. See, the Bible says in James that if you know the good you ought to do and don't do it, it's sin for you. Now, I'm speaking specifically for me. Every time I said no to those mission trips, it was Damon saying no. Does that make sense? So for me personally, it was sin. And it was very clear that it was sin because the one time that I did, 2010, one of my first mission trip to Costa Rica, Turrialba, Costa Rica, I felt the presence of God more rich and more powerful than I did in years, even in the ministry. And I knew something was being done in my heart. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't stop focusing on it. And a year later, they were going on an exploratory trip to Haiti, and I was upset that they didn't invite me. And the pastor said, here at Fellowship Church, he said, well, Damon, I've asked you for 10 years. You always said no. I said, I'm going. I'm going. And the last minute, almost, we got in a fight, an argument, and we were sleeping on opposite sides of the beds. It's a joke, guys. Like me and my pastor was here, we weren't talking. I was like, dude. And when the plane landed in Port-au-Prince, God began to do something in my life. And that's all I'm asking is that when you leave here, just think about, God, is it my turn? Is it my turn to now apply my faith and my action? Not only is it going to change your life, it's going to change the trajectory of your life, and it's also going to broaden your influence. It's going to broaden your opportunity to lead others to Christ. It will change your life. Amen? So you have the opportunity to do that. Father, we pray right now, God, that whatever was said, whatever shared here, God, I pray that above all things, God, that you would be glorified, that people are drawn, God, to your purpose, your calling, God, your commands, God, your mandate upon each and every one of our lives. God, I pray that we would leave here, God, hungry and thirsty, God, to understand, to interpret, God, to be able to distinguish what it is you have planned for us for 2020 individually, God. And God, I pray that you would speak in such ways, God, that it would be undeniable that you are the one leading each and every one of us to step out and apply our faith with actions. God, we ask that you would move upon each and every heart. God, that you'd help us to see that there is so much more to be done outside of our Bible Belt comfort zone here in the Southeast U.S., God. But just to see that your kingdom is expanding by just phenomenal numbers, Lord. And we thank you for those who are giving their life to do that. We thank you that we are a part of helping them do that. But God, let us not just be givers. God, let us be those who are doers as well. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, you guys have a blessed week. I pray that this week you have a week of thanks, not because it's what we celebrate here in the U.S., but because your heart is really, really, truly grateful for how God has provided for you. Amen? Listen, if you're upset with your wife or husband this week, just be grateful you have someone to be upset with. Amen? Right? And if the turkey don't turn out right, throw it out the back door and just be grateful that you had a back door. Amen? Have a great week. We love y'all.